Hello and welcome to your Rate My League preview show. I'm Andy Goldstein, joined by Luke Giesbrecht. Today we're looking at Golden Empire, standard scoring dynasty 12-teamer, and Rob bought the show, so thank you so much to Rob for getting us all set up. Luke, we like to break the ice with leagues out there, and you don't know this because this is only the second show we've done, but we didn't get any memorable moments or anything like that from Rob for Golden Empire, so that means we have to go to a backup icebreaker, and I found a website that has the top 100 famous inventions and greatest ideas of all time. The list is in no particular order, so we're going to dive in, spend a solid 30 to 45 seconds talking about something on this list. This is show number 76 on the year, so let's go to item number 76 on the list. The flashlight. Luke, a flashlight is a simple device, an electric light bulb connected to a switch. The first U.S. patent for the flashlight was obtained by a British inventor named David Missell in 1899. Some of the early flashlights were donated to the New York City police because early models were inefficient and needed to take a brief rest to stay functional. The light only flashed multiple times instead of being continuous, hence the name. Oh, that's where you get the name from, flashlight. How about that?
Well, I appreciate the educational value there. I did not know that that's why they're called flashlights.
Would you consider the flashlight one of the top 100 famous inventions and greatest ideas of all time?
I mean, probably. You got to stop carrying fire around, right? And that's always a little dangerous. So I think that's where I'm going to give it its value, is that like you no longer have to drop the lantern and light the barn on fire. Yeah, so it's a win.
So there you go. We do get a note from Rob that they moved to a point for every 10 yards, much like we just did the Get a Life League. So same setup here. They changed the scoring a little bit, and they do not use PPR. They go with standard scoring, and this league has one IDP flex play as opposed to two there. Maybe they'll move over to two at some point. We've seen this league before. They have three divisions, the Pat McAfee division, the Peyton Manning division, and the Sonny Jurgensen division. Like those names. That's pretty cool. They know how it's going to work. I think we should just dive in so we get more time talking about the teams here. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Number 12, One-Eyed Pugs. The One-Eyed Pugs from the Sonny Jurgensen division. This team gets T. Higgins and a... Oh, they were involved in a trade. I should have mentioned that. So the trade here, pretty interesting one, pretty big one. They traded away Aaron Rodgers. They get back T. Higgins. They do move back two rounds in the 24 draft. So they gave up their 24 third to get back to the 24 fifth there. But T. Higgins over Aaron Rodgers feels like a pretty slam dunk trade win to me.
Absolutely. Windmill slam dunk. Cannot be more happy about that. I mean, I think we know these guys. We know that quarterbacks' values can get a little inflated, but in a one quarterback league for a quarterback who is well within their golden years, he's on his way out to go get someone as valuable as T. Higgins. Now, I know T. Higgins is always going to be stuck behind Jamar Chase, at least in his immediate future, but he still offers you that high upside wide receiver too, and is the best wide receiver on this roster immediately. I think that's just a great trade for this team.
Yeah, that looks really nice. It's still the number 12 roster in both total and starter redraft value, and it's still a very old offensive team. 28.4 is the average age on offense. Young on defense, but that just does not matter quite as much as this offense being 28.4. They lose dynasty value. It's not good when you're already dead last in redraft value, and you still manage to lose $30 of dynasty value here. DeAndre Hopkins, James Conner, both losing pretty big dynasty value. So that's not ideal. What also is not ideal is the fact that they are dead last in future draft capital. This team, no 24 first rounder, no 24 third rounder. I mean, that trade belies the problems here because the trade looks great and it's easy to get optimistic when you see a trade like that. But the overall picture is still really bleak.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, but I mean, I think we would... Yes, having a future third is a little helpful, but if we looked at this roster and we went, all of a sudden you're putting Aaron Rodgers on this Dynasty Fallers list, we're pulling away one of their only two Dynasty Risers where they have Joe Burrow and T. Higgins.
Oh, no. No doubt about it. That trade is great. All I'm saying is it doesn't It's not a cure.
Oh, no. We've staunched
it's like
the bleeding.
A Band-Aid on, yeah. It's a Band-Aid on a big wound here.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Joe Burrow is obviously a very nice place to be. I think quarterback for this team's strongest now by a pretty wide margin, which is a good reason for why getting rid of Aaron Rodgers is an excellent idea. Got them ranked fifth. Joe Burrow, Daniel Jones, Sam Howell. That gives you a nice 1-2 with at least people who have NFL contracts that are going to allude to them being starters for multiple years. Joe Burrow, I feel like you feel concrete for at least a decade. Sam Howell, you have the nice lottery ticket this year. He gets an opportunity to show what he has. A quarterback I feel really good about coming out of North Carolina and at least gets an opportunity after falling maybe one of the largest draft fallers in the last decade. So that's something nice to see there. That's the positives. The negatives are a little bit larger. Running back, we've got the ranked 11th. They're really anchored by James Conner and David Montgomery, who a couple of years ago was probably offering you at least decent production. This year, you're hoping James Conner can outproduce running back 23. It's just his offense and how many touchdowns Arizona is going to score this year that becomes the big question. I do think he gets the touches. David Montgomery is a much different question. Whether he really kind of earns a lot of touches this year or not in Detroit is very much up for debate. And then the depth falls off immediately.
Yeah, Mitchell hurt already. I mean, the 49ers apparently working out other running backs. That's not good news.
No, not a good place to be. I think, obviously, tight end is pretty desolate. Again, Zach Ertz in Arizona and Ty Conklin, I don't think a lot of us have a lot of faith in at this point. How do you feel about wide receiver with the addition of T. Higgins? Obviously, it's a boon, but does it allude to growth?
It's great, except for the fact that Hopkins is old, Cooks is old. I mean, this team is probably not going anywhere this year, and they have just – there's. Hopkins is 31, I believe, and Brandon Cooks is 30. Yeah, so I don't know why they're here. I mean, there's a bunch of guys on this roster that just don't fit. I mean, James Conner doesn't fit, Hopkins doesn't fit, Brandon Cooks doesn't fit. And tight end, I mean, they might as well shoot the tight end position to the moon anyway. Yeah. It's they need kind of a reset here. Like, someone needs to hit the reset button for this team. Maybe that trade is the start of it. Maybe we're just sort of we're too early. We came in too early. We saw the beginnings of it, and they're going to keep going with that idea. Aaron Rodgers being traded away, that makes a lot of sense here, but keep it going. Hopkins, Cooks, Connor, Montgomery, anything you can get value for, to me it makes sense. I don't know, anything on the IDP side you like or don't like?
I mean, you got the upside in Chase Young moving forward. I think that is kind of really it. Roquan Smith, obviously a nice name. I don't know how much production value you're going to get without the tackles kind of coming into play a lot. Chase Young. That's the upside. I think you nail down Joe Burrow and T. Higgins, put everything else for sale.
Just so you know, this league, they do get 1 point per tackle.
Oh, then Roquan's amazing. So then you have huge boom. Then the IDP I feel much better about with Roquan and Chase Young. You have a pretty good foundation there. I know IDP, especially in leagues where you've got a truncated amount of starters, maybe not the easiest thing to trade, but I'd at least try to dangle Roquan for one of those teams who's maybe hurting for an impact linebacker.
Yeah, especially because, again, they are dead last in future draft capital here. They need to get some of that going as well. 3.3 is a team score. Helmet Sicker, the Bear Cupboard, least draft capital. The Mine Recoils, worst rated tight end position. But we got to bring Linda Cohn in for this one, the breaking news sticker.
I'm Linda Cohn from ESPN SportsCenter. Late breaking news. This fantasy football team is awful. It is a complete train wreck. Multiple sources are confirming to us that this team is an affront to fantasy football itself. It's a joke. It's embarrassing. And it's a fact.
There you go. For the worst ranked team, you get Linda Cohn yelling at you. And some people may be into that. I don't know. Number 11, Wolfpack from the Pat McAfee division. This team also involved in a trade, an interesting mano a mano trade, which I always find very entertaining. This team gets Justin Herbert and gives up Trevor Lawrence. And that's it. That's the deal.
I mean, all the paper is going to say that Herbert's the better player, so that's a win. I can't come up with a reason to not go get Justin Herbert. I mean, he's in an excellent offense. He arguably has better weapons than Trevor Lawrence. He's slightly older.
Does he? Wait, Justin Herbert has better weapons than Trevor Lawrence? Are we sure?
I think so. I think I'm still willing to say that Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and the addition of Quentin Johnston is better than Calvin Ridley.
I mean, Christian Kirk, top 10 receiver last year.
I know.
Come on, give my boy Christian Kirk a little. A little sugar.
I will give Christian Kirk some props, but
and also Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram beats out Gerald Everett.
That he does. Yeah. So are you stumping for Trevor Lawrence a little bit here?
I have a secret confession to make. I'm down on Herbert versus consensus. And I'm not willing to put this anywhere. If you say anything on Twitter about it, I will deny it vehemently. That said, I do secretly kind of I was pretty bummed by last season for Herbert. I know he was banged up, but here's the problem: mm-hmm. that offensive line for San Diego. Oh, here we go. This league, they're old. They know it too. They say San Diego for the Chargers is not good. Herbert wants to throw deep. Okay. You need time to do that, and I don't know if he's going to have a ton of time to do that. We saw what happened when he got banged up last year. Everything he had, like, the lowest A dot you're ever going to see. Eckler is old. Keenan Allen is old. Yeah, Quentin Johnson's fun and exciting, but are we sure he's going to be a year one hit? You know, Mike Williams, every year it's the same thing with Mike Williams. I don't know. I'm secretly, like, kind of divesting from the Chargers a little bit.
I mean, I think he makes very excellent points, and I think maybe a way to spin it is, as we start to look at this roster, is from a perspective of ADP and where we kind of have them ranked overall, they're pretty neck and neck. Like, Lawrence is just slightly behind Herbert but ascending, and that's just the way it's going to break down. But the roster then I think matters a little bit more once we kind of start to talk about age. Because we got Trevor Lawrence is 23, Herbert is turning 26. There is a 3-year gap. Now, obviously, quarterbacks have a longer longevity than most, but this is a team that we have ranked 11th, and I think arguably needs a lot of help, like a lot. The running back situation is bad. They're dead last, and it's a team where even if Dalvin Cook finds himself a great spot, it's still probably the last running back group, even if he goes to wherever we want to earmark the best spot, whether it be Miami,
et
cetera. Probably Miami. It's still not going to, like, it'll bump Dalvin Cook up maybe 10 spots. He's RB24, RB20. He's going to get you that RB2 scoring, but then you have nothing behind him. It's Tyler Algieri, Mostert. They did take Tank Bigsby at 208, so they've got a little bit of hope there, but I know you love Travis Etienne. I don't know how much Tank Bigsby's
going to do. And then Dalvin going to Miami would obviously be bad news for Mostert.
That's a tough place to be. So this team, and if you're going to even attempt to be any kind of semblance of competitive, you need to have running back together. So this team is not going to be competitive this year in my approximation.
You're okay with this team taking Antoine Winfield at 1.08, by the way?
I'm not. I can't. there's too few starters for me to get behind it. And you're a team that already had Derwin James. So, I mean, you're now the best safety group, bar none. They're the best IDP group, so maybe that's where they're hanging their hat, and they're just going to always have the best IDP. But once we start to look at this draft a little bit more, I think you're gonna see that they probably could have maybe not found a running back, but at least found a way to kind of supplement. Now, this team is better at wide receiver. Do you feel that that is going to help, or is it just maybe a stepping stone? Because they've stacked Herbert with Mike Williams.
Yeah, and I'm on Ross St. Stack. I'm on Ross St. Brown outside of half point per reception PPR. Wide receiver 9 feels ambitious in standard scoring to me. I know he was kind of there last year, but expecting him to do that again, especially without the touchdowns, I don't know. No, I'm not necessarily buying. McLaurin I love. I wish he had a real quarterback at any point in his career. And you heard what I said about Mike Williams. So they're going for that Chargers stack.
Yeah, Gerald Everett too, just sitting back there. Dallas Goedert. So at least you have a nice Dallas Goedert's an older tight end, not old, but older as far as we starting to get there. He's starting to climb up in age. We've got him. He's 28. He's going to be on the precipice of 30 when we kind of start to talk dynasty in these windows of when this team will maybe have an opportunity to turn itself around. The one thing that's really nice to say is they're 11th. They're number two in future draft capital strictly because they're holding on to all their own picks.
Yeah, and, they're a bad team.
I'd maybe not recommend a safety next year in the first round.
They can't be trusted with their draft capital. 4.71 is the team score here. Helmet Sickers, I have no home. Worst rated running back position. But let's play this for the top rated IDP. They get the Better Call Saul sticker. Better Call Saul! I said Better Call Saul! Shut the hell up! There you go. Number 10, San Antonio Maulers from the Pat McAfee division. This is another team that is kind of struggling and not the youngest team in the league. Number 8 in total redraft value here. Number 8 in starter redraft value, and that average starter age on offense, 27.3. Kind of right smack dab in prime, maybe even late prime there at 27.3. They lose some dynasty value. They fall from number 8 in total redraft value to number 10 in total dynasty value. When you look positionally at this team, certainly can hold their own at quarterback with Jalen Hurts leading the way. And then they picked up Bryce Young in the draft at 1.05. It's a very ambitious selection for Bryce Young. We kind of talked about it before, but for the Get a Life League. But having seen a bunch of one quarterback leagues, the quarterback values in the draft have been all over the map. I've seen Anthony Richardson go third. I've seen Anthony Richardson go in the second round. I've seen Bryce Young go top six like he does here. And I've seen Bryce Young go in the third round. So nothing surprises me with quarterback value. I've seen it all.
Yeah, it's 105 is a good pick. Like, there was probably, I mean, we got to assume that, I mean, is Bryce Young the first quarterback taken?
I don't think he was. I mean, I'll check.
You think AR went first?
I looked through it before. I'm pretty sure Richardson went fourth, but let me see. Yeah, Richardson went fourth, Bryce Young fifth.
So, yeah, so there was some pretty solid talent available. Now, building depth in a league where you're going to be able to get some good value for quarterbacks, like we watched Aaron Rodgers go for T. Higgins, so what can you get for Jalen Hurts, or what could you go get for Bryce Young once he shows out a little bit, is maybe a bit of a longer-term play. This team has a lot of holes. Like you mentioned, it's older. It needed some help at pretty much all positions. The wide receiver room is good adjacent. Like, it's got a little bit of opportunity, but it's also got some age sitting on it already. We've got DK Metcalf, 26. Mike Evans is 30. We've got 26-year-old Marquise Brown. Like, it's got some age to it. Calvin Ridley, obviously 28, I believe. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a wide receiver group that's very much in their prime right now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and that tied, like, and we've got the rank six, so it's competitive enough. You've got Darren Waller, who I think automatically gives you an opportunity to be a little bit competitive if he's healthy. I really think there's some excellent split start stats of Daniel Jones when he had Bellinger healthy last year, that he really kind of, having an active and a good tight end, really unleashed that that offense. So Darren Waller is a much better version of that. So if he can be healthy, that gives you a competitive advantage there.
Yeah, and it's a team that, I mean, just looking last year, they went 6-8 last year. They're kind of ranked about the same spot, right? Like eighth, mm-hmm. just a little sub-average in redraft value here. I need to see something. And they got that big breakout from Jalen Hurts last season, and they still ended up, Miles Sanders had a great year last year. It might be hard for Miles Sanders to – I like Miles Sanders, and I think he's maybe a little bit undervalued, but it might be hard for him to live up to what he did last year.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
It's tough to see, and yeah, maybe Darren Waller has a good season this year. He stays healthy, and maybe Kenneth Gainwell steps up, and he's now the number one Eagles running back, as some beat writers are saying to me on Twitter. There's a chance here, but there's also, I think, a better chance that they're kind of exactly what they were last season.
Yeah, I think so. Kendre Miller, I think, has an opportunity, not this season, but maybe next season. Jerome Ford, if the Cleveland Browns don't bring in anybody, I think could be a little bit of a spicy option to give you maybe a little bit of a boost that people didn't see coming. Brian Robinson, Rashad Penny, I don't think either of them really offer a difference maker ability, but they will be startable and maybe not kill you. I think a 105, I just think maybe if you'd gone a different direction, you might have been able to offer yourself a bit of an opportunity there. Because if things...
No, I was going to say, I do like the value that they get for Jalen Hyatt at 3.01 and Jaden Reed at 4.05. Both really good picks.
Yeah, Shoemaker at 5.05 I like as well. I think anytime you can kind of get deep under where they went in the NFL draft, you always feel good about it. You got a second round tight end in the fifth round. Nice place to start. So I building some foundation here, and I just think if – in a hypothetical, if the wheels kind of fall off a little bit early, are you going fire sale on this team? Or are you trying to like unload some of this talent at wide receiver while it's still in a win window for someone else?
Yes, I would be pretty trigger happy here based on what happened last year. And if it's going down the same path, I'd be looking to retool a little bit, I think.
Yeah, from an IDP perspective, we've got them ranked fifth. They're kind of middle of the pack. TJ Watt, obviously a huge benefit. Logan Wilson, Bobby Wagner, I think, still offer you some pretty good scoring perspective from the linebacker position. Not enough starters to really kind of boost a team, but it's strong enough that it wouldn't hold the team back.
Team score here, 4.8. Helmet Sickers, I don't think he's coming back. Tom Brady is rostered. He's got a new love in his life, and it ain't football. Number 9. Birmingham Blitz from the Peyton Manning division. It's weird to me. I don't know if it's weird to this league. It's still weird to me that Peyton Manning is retired. My fantasy career started in 2000. It actually started in 1999, which I think was Peyton Manning's rookie year. Was that 98? So like the beginning of my fantasy career coincided with the start of Peyton Manning's career, so it's still odd to me that he's retired. But anyway, involved in a trade, they acquired James Cook here. It cost them 6 draft slots. They moved back from 1.04 to 1.10. They also give up Antonio Gibson, which is a really intriguing trade. They ended up getting C.J. Stroud at 1.10. You know, when you look at 1.04, obviously it's definitely a tier break from the top three. Well, you know, 1.01 is a tier break to 1.02. To me, 1.02 and 1.03 are very similar, and then there's a tier break to 4. So that's where they kind of were. That said, they ended up at 10. They could have taken a guy who I think is in the next tier of wide receivers. He did not go there at all. And, Luke, when you see where Zay Flowers went, you're going to be shocked. they passed on Zay Flowers. They also passed on, you know, Dalton Kincaid, who's a potential option there. And they go with CJ Stroud. Interesting selection.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you like, this isn't how life works, but when you bubble it into the fact that they went from Anthony Richardson to CJ Stroud, and like if we were gonna say they were gonna take a quarterback there anyway, then you can maybe make a bit of a better justification. I know you quite like Antonio Gibson.
Yes.
Is James Cook a big upgrade in your assessment there, or is it just like so, not enough?
In consensus value, James Cook is running back 30. I think Gibson is like running back 30. I forget. 36, 37, 38, something like that. So it's definitely like an upgrade for consensus. You know, I think Cook's ceiling is interesting, but I think his floor is much lower than Gibson's floor. Just because we've seen Gibson be a top, 15 running back for a couple years to start his career. And we don't know if Cook can hold up and be that. But I think it's worth the ceiling. You know, the difference between Cook and Gibson in terms of what their, like, average ADP is not enough for me to really be worried too much about it. But I think the ceiling with Cook is definitely intriguing anyway.
Yeah, I think that's good analysis. I don't think it was maybe worth what they got to trade down, but how it shook out, I think, works out okay.
Yeah, I mean, in this draft, it's yes, fine because if it went according to ADP, it would be a big drop. But you know, Stroud would not necessarily have been my pick, but just in terms of who was still on the board at 10, I mean, it would have been fine for me.
Yeah, and a team that I mean, made some good additions in the draft when we talk about getting Jahmyr Gibbs at 103. I think that's a position where they probably really needed a little bit of security, and I think that kind of falls into the fact when we talk about this trade. But Ramondre Stevenson is the running back in the top 10 who I just have I have the least love for. And then Najee Harris is the one I think probably has the most question marks about how much tread on the tires is really left. So I think they kind of did need to make some switches and add some youth, even though they do have some younger RB1s in those quotes because of how just how quick you go from a young RB1 to a guy who's not on a contract anymore and looking for a job. So it's a position of strength, and they've added to it, and they're number four now. Is that enough to carry them with the additions of Cook and Gibbs to Harris and Stevenson?
Not with what's going on elsewhere on the roster. I mean, every other position is now in the bottom three. I like Ayuk. You know, wide receiver 25 seems pretty soft to me. I think he was a top 15 wide receiver last year. I don't think there's a great reason for him not being able to get back to that point. And we'll see with Drake London. I know you're a little tepid on Atlanta's passing offense, and that's legit considering what we've seen over the last couple of years. But he's wide receiver 26 in consensus value, and obviously he's more of an ascending talent. I like Chris Godwin. I think he'll be better than wide receiver 30, but still, there's just not enough firepower here. Number 9 in total redraft value, number 10 in starter redraft value. They do jump to number 7 in dynasty value, Gibbs, London, both big dynasty gainers. And we talked about it before, but you know, London, regardless of what you think this year in terms of being a dynasty asset, I still have pretty sky high hopes for him.
Yeah, I think that's, I think you nailed that. And I agree with your assessment on Chris Godwin too. I think he has an opportunity to pretty easily surpass that wide receiver 30. Tight end obviously holding them back as well. They did pick up Michael Mayer at 202, a little bit better than we saw in some previous drafts from some of these co-league owners here.
Yeah.
Hayden Hurst, I think you might end up actually having to start Michael Mayer. Maybe Kate Otten slips in a little bit, but they're not going to be difference makers for you. Derek Carr holds this team afloat this year while C.J. Stroud sort of gets acclimatized to the NFL and that roster starts to develop around him. IDP kind of falls into the exact same vein of the rest of this roster in my assessment of it. We've got them ranked 7th. They've got some nice names, but they don't have a lot of big difference makers and maybe lacking a little bit of depth. Linebacker, I think, is where they're strongest and where I feel the most commitment to the fact that they're going to be able to score consistently with Dre Greenlaw, Zaire Franklin, and Trey Edmonds. I think all three of them are really have an opportunity to be a linebacker one. You're not going to get to start them all, which is a bit of an issue, but at least it kind of helps you out. Safety with Petrie is okay. Josh Sweat is not enough in the defensive line to really give you a boost.
I noticed you skipped over Brock Purdy. You didn't even mention his name. I don't know if you are a big proponent of the Football Almanac people. It used to be Football Outsiders, now the FTN Almanac. They have a stat called DVOA. Brock Purdy was the 7th best quarterback, rookie quarterback all time in DVOA. 7th best all time. That's wild.
It's a very good point. I'm not a Trey Lance truther in the least. I was probably his hardest detractor, almost to a rude amount. So I do think Brock Purdy probably holds on to that job. I just think from this point, would you start Brock Purdy over Derek Carr? I guess
yes.
Yeah, I throw it.
Yes,
while
he's playing.
Yes.
I mean,
if he's playing,
his ADP ranking is definitely impacted by, is he healthy? Is he definitely the starter? If he's lining up in week one, I'm probably sorry. I'm rolling the dice at least in week one. 4.87.
Just hoping that magic exists.
Yeah, 4.87 is the team score here. Just the hand grenade sticker.
O Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thine enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
For having the worst rated quarterback position in the league. 5-9 last year, by the way, for the Birmingham Blitz. Number 8, Ball Lives Matter. Another 5-9 team last year. And this is a squad that's being propped up kind of by that draft capital, the fact that they at least have their future picks intact. They're technically the number 3 future draft capital team, even though they don't have any extra incoming picks. That's probably the most interesting thing here. The second most interesting thing is they had 2 second round picks this year. No first rounder this year, though, but 2 second rounders. They go with Luke Musgrave at 2.03. I love Luke Musgrave. That is pretty early for Luke Musgrave. He went before like Zach Charbonnet, Kendre Miller, Jonathan Mingo. We usually see those guys go before Luke Musgrave.
Yeah, I think maybe that we see that little tight end run there, and maybe there was a bit of a panic on a team that needed it. We've got them ranked 9th overall, kind of relying on Tyler Higbee at the moment. I don't trust that Green Bay offense. It's not that I don't trust Jordan Love per se. I do think he has an opportunity there. They've never really been able to actualize well out of their tight end and how they've worked out with it. So you kind of need to see it before you believe in it, I guess.
There was one Robert Tonyan season.
That run Robert Tonyan 8 games or whatever it ended up being. But yeah, so I mean, the team has some decent starters when we kind of start to run it down that way. I think it's just really where the depth is where we kind of get a little scared away from it. Because if you just kind of run down the starters, we've got Justin Fields, Josh Jacobs, AJ Brown. That is the start of a good roster. It's just, it starts to fall off. Breece Hall, at least, you have some depth at running back, and that's why we have them ranked 6th. Mm-hmm. But when we've got them ranked 12th at wide receiver, it's just who is the wide receiver 2 there? I know we say it's Darius Slayton, but who is it for real? Is it Hunter Renfrew?
it's to be determined, I think. You're really probably hoping that Khalil Shakir can step up. He's having trouble apparently in training camp. He's not looking great, so you know, I joked before, there's definitely going to be, if you just start Darius Slayton every week, you're definitely going to get that random, like, 150-yard, 2-touchdown game from him. That's not necessarily the most helpful when you're starting him while he's getting, like, 30 yards the other weeks. But, you know, yeah, I mean, this team has really no second wide receiver at all.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm a...
which makes passing on Zay Flowers twice in the second round pretty egregious to me.
Pretty egregious. And when you have Justin Fields and Mac Jones, I know maybe you're not the most confident in Mac Jones being a long-term NFL starter, but you can't be that much more confident in Will Levis becoming a long-term NFL starter when you had a first-round draft capital wide receiver sitting there and this depth chart. It's a tough pass that may come back to haunt the team a little bit. From giving them some props in their draft, I will say I think they did pretty well in the back half with some IDP. I think Brian Branch and Miles Murphy were both pretty good picks. Brian Branch has an opportunity to probably actually score for you this year. Miles Murphy might take a bit of a year, but overall the IDP we don't love either. It's ranked 10. Is this the worst roster? Maybe not, but I think the one we looked at before is better. It's just the fact that this one's sitting on all its own picks is kind of propping it up.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the advantage this team has is they have some absolute legit studs at the top of the lineup in Fields and Jacobs and Hall and A.J. Brown, and that carries enough weight for them. Also, they do pick up Aiden O'Connell, and if you don't think Aiden O'Connell is getting a start this year in Las Vegas, you are sadly mistaken. 4.95 is the team score here. The helmet sticker, I guess we got to play it. The You Could Do So Much Better sticker.
Why do you put up with it? You could do so much better.
For having the worst rated wide receiver position. Shout out Darius Slayton. Number 7, Beagles. Beagles. This is the other side of the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert trade. I was looking to see maybe if they had any Jaguars wide receivers to make a stack. I don't see any. I mean, definitely on paper, they took a value hit there. I just love, there's something strangely satisfying about a trade that is literally just, I think this guy's better than that guy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's, I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, money where your mouth is, for sure. There's no like, oh, I need you to throw in a third to even it out for the ADP in the trade calculator. It's no. I just want them. I mean, yeah, I mean, you've already talked about why I think Trevor Lawrence maybe is a good pick. This is a team that was pretty stacked at quarterback and maintains that, maybe not stacked from a high echelon tier, but has some really nice depth in Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson, Geno Smith. That's a nice 1-2-3. I mean, morals aside, I think Deshaun Watson has an opportunity to really be a quarterback one this year and perennially for quite some time here. So, and Geno Smith locking up a contract that I think puts him in as a starter as long as Pete Carroll is there. I may be speculating a bit, but I think that Geno Smith contract is kind of tied to the end of the Pete Carroll era, and we're going to kind of see those two things coincide. So, yeah, it's pretty competitive.
I will say, I think this is I haven't talked much about Watson because who wants to, but I do think it is kind of like an important year for him because he didn't really look – I mean, he looked awful last season when he played, but you can kind of shrug it off as, you know, well, he hasn't played football in a long time, and he didn't really get to – do much with the team for a long time and then sort of gets put into the game suddenly. It's just a weird situation just from a football perspective. If he starts this year kind of like he did the end of last year, I would be a little worried about him. His value is going to plummet if that happens.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to consider. And I do think, as we were talking about, no one really wants to talk about him. I think that negative energy behind him will watch his stock fall faster the second he fails on a football field. So yeah, Definitely something to consider. From a running back perspective, they're obviously sitting anchored pretty well with Austin Eckler. I think it leaves a little bit less to be desired after that. They're sitting on DeAndre Swift, kind of waiting to see what happens with that mishmash of the Eagles depth chart and the four running back ones. And is it Kenneth Gainwell? How much does Swift actually get those first and second down carries? So they followed it up with a Devon Achane pick at 106. Fantasy Pros has him at RB43 for this year, which I feel is just a little rude based on the Miami depth chart. Like, I really feel like they have penciled in free agent in front of him and are just assuming it happens. And the longer we get into this, the less likely that becomes, or the more likely it becomes that Achane has established himself some sort of role, regardless of whether that free agent comes in. So I think he maybe could be a little bit sneaky, but definitely a depth issue at running back.
This team, number six in total and sort of redraft value, they do fall. Not that they have an old offense. They actually have a stagnant dynasty situation overall, but other teams are gaining dynasty value. This team falls from number six in total redraft value to number eight in total dynasty value. So they pick Achane at 1.06, Mingo at 2.06, which is solid value there. It is technically our lowest rated IDP situation.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment. Not a lot going on in the defensive line with Matt Judon. They added Nolan Smith this year at 306, which I think maybe is a little rich. Went out and got Bobby Okereke at 406. I feel like he's going to absolutely smash that linebacker 29 that we're sitting on. So that, I think, is the highlight of it. But Mario Davis, Anthony Walker, I don't feel very confident in. Ahmad Gardner, great name to have. Excellent lockdown corner. Not essentially what I want in an IDP player, because he's so good and he's such a lockdown player, the teams will just scheme away from him and he's not going to see the targets. We want to see a cornerback that gets targeted enough that they have an opportunity to increase their chance at getting those big plays, those turnovers, things that really give you the big boom scoring. I tend to lean away from cornerback when you have an opportunity to start DBs. I tend to lean away from it. You want to get the safeties who can just, you want to find that box safety and kind of just slide in and get the tackle instead.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting team. They went 6-7-1. They actually managed to tie a game last season. They should still be kind of. I was trying to figure out if they made the playoffs. I couldn't figure it out. CBS scares me still. But it's a team that should be kind of in the mix for the playoffs. We'll see if that can happen this year. 5.05. is the team score. Helmet sticker here. Better call Hans Brinker, lowest rated ATP. I don't think anyone does. You think anyone? Do you even understand what that means?
No, it's over my head, I gotta admit.
Hans Brinker wrote the story about the boy who sticks his finger in the dam or whatever. So you gotta plug the dam. Anyway, it's like a leaky defense. Anyway, it's a very deep cut. It's a very deep cut. Number six, if you couldn't tell, it was probably like the last sticker I made, and it was probably like 11 o'clock at night, and I was done. And I was just like, let's just do it. Number six, Martians or Martians? I don't know. There's a rogue capitalized A in this name. This is the team that was on the other side of that tie. So they also had a tie last season. But 9-4-1, so a better record here last year. But it's interesting because their redraft value is actually a little bit lower than Beagles. They're number seven in total and sort of redraft value here. But a young team, 25.3 on the offensive side. They gain dynasty value. They move up to number six in the dynasty rankings, largely thanks to Javonte Williams and Treylon Burks, both gaining double-digit dynasty value here. You know, when you look positionally, of course, Patrick Mahomes, good at football, number one quarterback group, but there's really not much behind him.
No, you're sitting on Tannehill and Malik Willis, so you've got most of Tennessee tied up. depends whether Will Levis or Malik Willis who wins that kind of backup battle. I do think one, if not both of them, get to see some time. Malik Willis, who got to see time last year, was not impressive, but remains to be seen whether he's shown some improvement. Did kind of recognize that, I suppose, but picked up Stetson Bennett off what it looks to be waivers or a very deep draft pick. I'm thinking waivers, so... Stetson Bennett, maybe not a sexy name, but someone who is going to follow themselves right into the middle of a draft depth chart and just be able to potentially step in for any injuries. So you're going to play Mahomes every way. And like I always kind of get into this mind frame where I hate talking about injuries, but if Mahomes gets injured, your team was probably done anyway. So you just got to ride Mahomes and hope everything works out. To me, I really go, is the depth enough? Because again, I think there's going to be some really deep teams at the end of this because I'm seeing a lot of teams that are just shallow with that kind of one good starter. And we're kind of seeing it again here with Tyreek Hill and TJ Hawkinson from at least that perspective, giving you a good wide receiver one and a good tight end one. A little bit of depth lacking from the wide receiver position, Jahan Dotson, Chaylen Burks. At least they're young, and I do like both of them. I'm not sure whether either of them is going to get enough to step into that wide receiver two position this year. I think maybe I lean Dotson over Burks for opportunity, but I guess Burks has a better quarterback position with Tannehill.
Sure, I guess. Yeah, that's kind of rough, right? Like those Dotson and Burks are relying on sort of, you know, Tannehill, I guess, is a little more steady, but Tennessee probably a little antsy to figure out what their future quarterback situation is. So there's probably going to be a bunch of weeks where Dotson and Burks are trying to catch passes from some of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Yeah, I don't know. When you sort of look at this team holistically, I guess my question would be, what's the ceiling? I'm actually a little surprised that they did go 9-4-1 last year. I know Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and TJ Hawkinson, you know, maybe they were able to carry this team by themselves. It does feel a little bit like the ceiling on this team might be a bit limited compared to some of the other teams around.
Yeah, I think especially when you look at running back, I think there's not a lot of game breakers there. Javonte Williams is the one who sticks out to me who might be able to establish themselves as a starter who can maybe kind of give you more consistency. I know you're a big Pacheco fan, but I still don't see a lot of consistency in what he's going to score this year. I just think Kansas City does so much on offense and does things so sporadically to keep defenses guessing that you're never going to see Pacheco just get the rock a lot.
Doing that stupid Kelce shovel pass on the goal line, and that's going to kill Pacheco.
Well, it's tough because it works so darn good.
I hate it.
So I think if Javonte Williams comes back healthy, which all reports are saying that, now camp talk is always to be taken with like a giant grain of salt, but if he comes back healthy with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, I think you'll see a bit more of a traditional offense where he has an opportunity to maybe give you some safer scoring. I don't love that Cam Akers is ranked above both of them, to be honest with you. I just can't get on board with it.
It is tough. I mean, it's also the part of the rankings where, you know, things kind of, I think the standard deviation of those rankings tends to be a little wild. IDP, what do you see?
Pretty strong. We've got the rank second. I like the group a lot. Brian Burns, Aaron Donald, I think slips into being a starter again and has an opportunity to get himself back to where he was, maybe on his way out the door. Nick Bolton is an excellent linebacker as well, followed up Quay Walker. Hufanga, I think you have a really nice balance with all your starters are going to be positionally advantageous in a lot of times.
Team score here is 5.26. We'll go with the over mountain sticker.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
For having the top-rated quarterback position, Patrick Mahomes remains good at football. Number 5, the best around. The best around. This is from the Peyton Manning division. Involved in the trade, the other side of the Antonio Gibson, James Cook 1.04, 1.10 trade. So this is a squad that does jump up in the first round, and they grab one Mr. Anthony Richardson at 1.04. He does become their number one quarterback here, and Russell Wilson was the only other starter. I mean, it's a very thin quarterback position. It's not a shock. It turns out that C.J. Stroud was available at 10. I don't know. It's a little, you know, hypotheticals. Would they have been better holding at 10? Again, we talked about it before, but the difference between Gibson and Cook to me is not extreme. But you are giving up probably more ceiling in that deal. For the running backs, you're obviously getting much higher ceiling for the quarterbacks. It's an interesting one, but it's what makes Dynasty fun, because it'll have these far-reaching consequences that you'll come back 2 years later and say, oh boy, that really changed sort of the complexion of the league.
For sure, and I think I can get on board for going up and just getting 104, because at 110, when you're only sitting on Anthony, when you're only sitting on Russell Wilson, you're maybe going, ooh, is anybody going to be there? Are all three of them, is there going to be a quick run? Is something weird going to happen? And I'm just going to be sitting with Russell Wilson this year and having to go trade for a backup, et cetera. And maybe you just don't believe in Russell Wilson. I think I do. I think I do believe that Russell Wilson maybe ends up starting for this team if Anthony Richardson starts slow or shows some struggling. You might just want to get some more consistent scoring out of Russell Wilson with how competitive the rest of this roster is. So I think Anthony Richardson is a good pick at 104. Just again, talking about the team being competitive, where if you get that kind of boom, Justin Fields kind of start, where all of a sudden his legs are just scoring enough points that it really doesn't matter what's happening with the football and how the overall scoring goes for the team of Indianapolis. You don't really care. You're just like, he's starting, he's running the football enough, he's going to toss a couple TDs here, that's going to work out. So I think I can really get behind the pick, especially when you start to talk about the roster, because the team looks pretty darn competitive for me. We've got Christian McCaffrey, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb going bang, bang, bang as your starters. I feel like I just keep harping on this, but we're just not seeing a lot of depth out of many of these rosters. I just can really get behind the fact that as you pick the 104 with Anthony Richardson, you're giving yourself the opportunity that if he goes off this year, it really lends itself to the rest of the roster maintaining a little bit of level of competitiveness. We've got them ranked 5 in kind of redraft starting. We've got them 3 in IDP. They're really already close to there with Christian McCaffrey, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb. You've got a nice 1-2-3-4 hit there. I just kind of start to question again with a lot of these teams with the depth, and we're really kind of seeing a problem with this team again with where it's sitting in from a depth perspective.
Yeah, and I hear you. And as someone who's a little bit skeptical of Anthony Richardson, I still acknowledge the fact that as a rushing quarterback, his ceiling is off the charts. And for a team that is ranked number 2 in starter redraft value, number 5 in total redraft value, this team kind of needs a little. That ceiling could be a title here, as opposed to a situation where, you know, like, we think about Superflex a lot, where you see that one of the worst team in the league take Anthony Richardson, and you're like, that's great. He's not going to help you win a title now, and what if he's not a starter in a couple of years?
Right.
Here, if he hits his ceiling at all in the first couple of years, it could lead to a title. So it's a little early for me, but at least I like the fit in the situation, if that makes sense.
Totally. And just briefly touching on IDP, we've got them ranked 3rd. I think it's mostly predicated on how strong they are at linebacker with a full Sealukon, Shaquille Leonard. Picked up Drew Sanders off waivers, Not seeing him drafted, which is amazing. And then one of the best safety rooms you'll see with Buda Baker and Jeremy Chinn, which is just giving them a little bit of a boost there as well for just staying competitive.
Yeah, number 1 wide receiver group in the league, by the way. It's off the charts. Good. 6.31 is the team score. Just the goes to 11 sticker.
The numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. Oh, 11, nice. 11,
and most of
11.
And then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
For having the number 1 wide receiver group, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, 3 of the top 7. Very, very fun there. Number 4, 2 Gurleys, 1 Kupp from the Sonny Jurgensen division. This team, number 4 in total redraft value, number 5 in starter redraft value. Average starter age here is, very young, 23.9 on the offensive side. You'd think that would lead to massive dynasty gain. It kind of doesn't, not as much as you would expect. They do gain a little bit. They are number 4 in dynasty value, so they kind of stay put for the dynasty ranking here. It's just a little surprising. I mean, part of the problem is they pick up Bijan Robinson at 1.01. He's already running back 3. There's just not a ton of room for him to go up in dynasty value. So yeah, I mean, he's 21 years old. That's great. But it's just not going to help the dynasty value gain as much as you would normally expect to see a team of this age do. That said, have to be pretty happy overall with the situation. You look positionally here, number two at running back now, with Bijan sliding into the number one slot. My boy, Travis Etienne, the number two on the roster. J.K. Dobbins is here, running back 19. We haven't really talked about Dobbins all that much. You know, coming off of the injury, he looked, like, from a film perspective, he looked kind of wonky last season running the ball. But from an analytical perspective, his stats looked really great. He looked super good on paper. So it's a very weird, as someone who tries to be both a film and analytics guy, he's a very strange player to try to figure out right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really good assessment. And I think my problem with Dobbins is not on a roster like this, where he's kind of floating in like a flex spot. He's going to help you with bye weeks. Like, that's a great place to be worried about. We see a lot of teams with him like cemented as the running back two, potentially the running back one. And all of a sudden now you're just in a position where if the wheels fall off, it could get bad. Now, I think we always just kind of have in our heads, Lamar Jackson's there. That hampers touchdowns and red zone opportunities. It doesn't as much as the narrative in our head stipulates when we start to really look at it. And I think he has enough opportunity there to still easily kind of fall into that, yeah, like RB 17 through 25 range. I feel like I'm pretty comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. The depth with Jamal Williams is nice. I really think past that, there's not a lot. Chuba Hubbard, I don't see much coming out of anymore. And I don't know if Leonard Fournette even finds a job. I'm really starting to run into these opportunities where, like, do these free agents even get anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many of them now, too. Mm-hmm. It's like a pecking order. It feels like Dalvin is going to get a job before, you know, probably before Fournette does.
Yeah, and then where does Zeke go? And all of a sudden, and then Kareem Hunt, I think, has kind of dropped what his salary expectations are, and that's why he's starting to get these visits, as people are starting to, like, he's kind of being the first one to be like, okay, I'll take a one-year cheap deal. And when we kind of start to talk about the rest of this roster, we've already mentioned that they have Lamar Jackson, who ties in nicely with the rest of the offense and it being a little bit more high-powered. Kirk Cousins, excellent depth, followed up by Jordan Love, Jimmy Garoppolo, Desmond Ridder. We've got five NFL starters here. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good place to be in a league where maybe there's some additional value for quarterback, even though it is quarterback one. We've got them ranked four. I think that's a nice place to be. You've got some nice insulation with Kirk Cousins if anything happens to Lamar, covering bye weeks, plus some nice upside with Jordan Love and Desmond Ridder should one of them really come out and be gangbusters in their first year as full-fledged starters. Kind of buried a bit of the lead, I think, with how good and young their wide receivers are. Maybe there's a bit of a depth issue, but there's some older veterans kind of building a foundation for these younger kids to ascend.
Yeah, but on the flip side, a wide receiver, no top 10 wide receiver here. They're still looking for that true breakout stud. Can it be Olave? Can it be Devontae Smith? Maybe. Can it be DJ Moore? Maybe. But they're looking for it. And they have. Bless you.
I think with anyone, it's Chris Olave to me. But
yeah, I like Olave quite a bit. And Devontae Smith has the problem of the Eagles don't pass a ton, and he's technically number two on the pecking order in terms of targets there. Anyway, tight end rough here, tied for last really in tight end value. They don't have any, but they did pick up my boy Sam Laporta at 2.01. So I'll give him a pass. How about that?
I mean, it's maybe a little rich, but it is definitely something they needed to do. And I think Laporta is probably my favorite tight end out of the group as well.
You want to talk about IDP at all?
I mean, anytime you have Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, you're in a pretty decent spot. They got to add Troy Anderson. Luke Van Ness at 7.01, even in a low kind of format, I really like. I think Van Ness has an opportunity to kind of ascend later. We've got them ranked sixth, middle of the pack. Again, another situation where they're not really hurting, not really helping.
Team score here, 6.58. Helmet Sickers, the baby time, youngest projected starting lineup. But let's play this one. What's my age again? For having the most projected rookie starters. And, well, certainly Bijan and Sam Laporta. That's two anyway. think I missed anyone. Two's pretty good. All right, let's move on to number three here. Gridiron Gumbies. The Gridiron Gumbies coming in at number three in total redraft value, number four in starter redraft value. A little mild dynasty gain here moves up to number two in the dynasty ranking. Kyle Pitts, Jameson Williams, both gaining dynasty value here. It's, you know, Jameson Williams' dynasty gain is not coming because of the reason you want it to, because a lot of that dynasty gain is coming from the fact that he's missing six games this year and it hurts his redraft value. So his dynasty value just kind of goes back to what his redraft value would have otherwise been. But all the same, number two in dynasty ranking is a fine place to be. And, oh, by the way, Josh Allen is here, Justin Jefferson is here, Davante Adams is here, and, yes, you have Kyle Pitts at the tight end slot. There's a world where this team jumps up from number three in total redraft value to probably number one with like, the Kyle Pitts breakout. If Davante Adams can get back, you know, his redraft value is hurt a little bit because of the quarterback situation there. If he can get back to being a top five wide receiver, if Christian Kirk were just adequate or appropriately ranked after being the top 10 receiver last year, everybody hates Christian Kirk. Ridiculous. Target competition, whatever.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you nailed that assessment in the fact that they're probably going to rise. And if we want to talk about another reason why they're going to rise is this team, I think, wiped the floor with everybody else in terms of drafting. Quentin Johnston at 109, I feel like, is good value. Zay Flowers at 209 is flat out stealing. Theft. Period.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The rest of you had your lunch taken. Zay Flowers there was very right. And then Marvin Mims at 309. Like, I think that is good draft pick. All in wide receivers who are going to retain value longer, be able to kind of move with this team as its window goes, really solidifies the fact that you can now hold on to Davante Adams all the way to the floor. Like, you can ride him to championships and not worry about trying to find that sell window because you've just built this stable of opportunity to come fill that void whenever it comes. So I think that's just excellent. And I'm a little surprised that we have them as wide receiver three only. I mean, we did see some really good stacks, like you were saying, we pointed out earlier, and I guess it is mostly just for the fact of the straight disrespect from Christian Kirk.
Yeah, wide receiver 29 in consensus value. This team probably doesn't mind too much. They went 12-2 last year, so they're not sweating a little disrespect in terms of the wide receiver rankings here. You know, running back's interesting. Aaron Jones falling back from his ranking last season. He's now running back 15. Of course, there's some consternation, I suppose, about what the offense might look like for Green Bay and how that might impact Jones's fantasy prospects. And then Damian Pierce had that nice early run. It looked like after a few weeks he was going to be like a league winner, and it didn't quite pan out that way. But if he can put together a full season there, and Alvin Kamara's value is going to rise with the news that he's only suspended for three games. So it's an interesting running back group. I think it's probably a little bit better than that number eight ranking kind of gives it, labels it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think you could, for all the arguments you want to make for why Aaron Jones might take a step back this year, you could easily spin it to the fact that he is going to be that safety valve for Jordan Love as he's trying to learn his read progressions and he has to develop quicker progressions through the pass rush of the NFL. And Aaron Jones is always just going to be that little valve. So that may keep him kind of right where he's at. Like, it really comes down to how much you're willing to split in A.J. Dillon and what A.J. Dillon takes away from a touchdown perspective. And that's just so hard to predict. So I feel like 15 is reasonable. Yeah, the Alvin Kamara suspension is perfectly explained. 3 was very light. You're going to see that start to climb up. I think it's enough. I think, again, I absolutely hate talking about injuries, but Josh Allen's just floating out there by himself. Yep. There's nothing else back there. Maybe Carson Wentz finds himself a backup job. Maybe with that Frankenstein of him wearing all his old team outfits together, trying to show off that he was still playing football. But it's going to be the wide receivers that hold this team up, I think. I think Justin Jefferson alone and then Davante Adams is an excellent two-piece. And like you said, I as much as I wanted to track from Christian Kirk, I think the fact that Calvin Ridley just like leapfrogged him for no good reason was one of those summer overreactions that we're all going to look at going into the season and be like, why did we do that?
And it's also interesting this team has Evan Ingram as well. So Calvin Ridley's impact here could be noticeable. We'll see what it, you know, we'll see what it ends up looking like. But that could be, you know, last year Kyle Pitts was not, frankly, he was not startable for most of the year. And no. I'm assuming this team went 12-2, so I'm assuming that Evan Engram was playing a key role last year as well. So a little bit of maybe an under-the-radar storyline for this team is what Calvin Ridley kind of does to Christian Kirk and Evan Engram this season. IDP here, any thoughts?
It's a little light. Obviously, anytime you have Myles Garrett, you feel good. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I feel like, has a good opportunity to probably be a starter for you. Cameron Curl, I feel a little bit concerned about the linebackers. Jordan Brooks, you're just kind of waiting to see how that shakes out, but might hold them back slightly just with how aspirational this team's rest of the roster is.
Yeah, a lot to like here, I will say. Future draft capital intact. Team score here, 6.61. Oh, just the tumbleweed sticker. So sad. So boring. No other stickers. Number two, Dezzed and Confused from the Sonny Jurgensen division. Number two in total redraft value. Number three in starter redraft value. This team led by the running backs and wide receivers. Number three in running back value with Saquon, Mixon. Kenneth Walker here is the number three. He's a backup. He's just chilling on the bench with nothing to do. I guess getting healthy is what he has to do. And then the wide receiver spot. Number two in the league, Garrett Wilson, Jalen Waddle, Amari Cooper are your starters. Keenan Allen on the bench. I mean, you can see with the number two total redraft team versus the number three starter redraft team, the bench here is pretty immaculate. I mean, Keenan Allen on the bench and Kenneth Walker on the bench and Tua Tagovailoa on the bench. Even Dalton Schultz, and they picked up Dalton Kincaid at 1.11. I mean, those guys' bench pieces. This bench is almost as good as some starting lineups we've seen.
Yeah, for sure. This is where we're starting to really see where all that depth was, is because, like you mentioned, these are starters for a lot of fantasy teams when we do our evaluations. So, I mean, yeah, this team is insulated at pretty much every position for bye weeks, at least one substantial injury that we all have to deal with. I don't really have a lot of things to nitpick about. I think Garrett Wilson, I feel comfortable being that wide receiver one this year. Waddle, I think you feel good about. Amari Cooper, we already kind of talked about Deshaun Watson. If he struggles, that might be a question. But I just think Cooper is a solid enough wide receiver. He'll demand the targets and get himself enough opportunity to score well.
Yeah, the one thing, like the one little issue right now is kind of like preseason injuries have hit this team a little bit. You think about Kenneth Walker, you think about Jalen Waddle. I think Waddle's okay, but he definitely had a little bit of a scare. And now George Kittle having what's been termed a one-week injury in training camp. And if you've had Kittle for the number of years that I've had Kittle in my home league dynasty team, then you kind of get used to the little nagging Kittle injuries. But it's worth mentioning for a team that looks really, really good on paper, they are experiencing some daily, like, uh-oh, my guy left practice moments.
For sure. And do you feel like the ceiling of the quarterback is a little bit limited? Like, I feel fine rolling with Dak Prescott and Tua Tagovailoa. And you're going to be losing to Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, but not by that much.
I do think – I mean, I think Tua's ceiling is actually pretty high.
Fair.
Because they pass the ball so much there in Miami, especially. I mean, we'll see what happens with the running back group, but clearly not a position that they put much investment in. I think they were on target to pass like fourth or fifth most in the league last year. So while Tua was in there anyway, if that hits, like if they keep doing that and he plays 17 games, then I think he can be a top four, top five quarterback just because of the number of pass attempts alone.
Well, that's fair, and definitely has some of the better pass-catching options in the NFL when you talk about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So, yeah, I can get behind that. IDP, I think, is strong. We've got Micah Parsons kind of anchoring a very good linebacker group with the CBS when you have Parsons playing LB and Devin White, probably one of the few times that people maybe would prefer to be able to put Parsons in that DL position, following it up with Hayden Hutchinson. Got Will Anderson at 211. I feel like that's maybe a little early, but I understand kind of needing to add some positional value there. Kenny Moore and Trayvon Diggs. There aren't a lot of cornerbacks I'd prefer over safeties, but those are two of them. Kenny Moore has been an excellent tackling cornerback for many years consistently, which is nice to see. And Trayvon Diggs is just that perfect level of just taking massive amounts of risks, so quarterbacks will continue to target him while getting a ton of interceptions.
Nate Dell in round 5 looks pretty nice. This team has all their draft capital, but because they're ranked so well, it's less valuable, so they technically are number 11 in future draft capital here. 6.79 is the team score. Just one Helmsicker, the RML approved. This is our highest rated team versus consensus. I mean, we still have them ranked second, so there's only so much we can do. They do lose dynasty value here, by the way. They fall to number 3. In the dynasty ranking, but we're going for titles right now, so who cares? Number 1, the one who knocks. The one who knocks, this is from the Pat McAfee division. The two trades here. This is the other side of the T. Higgins deal. So we definitely preferred that for the other side. This team picks up Aaron Rodgers, and he does become their number 1. I mean, he becomes their starter for sure. This is the team, this is Rob's team, right? This is the Kyler Murray team. This is the team that now was headed into the season with just Matt Stafford. So you can see they, I don't want to say it's a panic move per se, but you can see they definitely took a little bit of a value hit to solidify that quarterback slot.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we've all, when you play leagues enough, you've all been in that position where you're the best team in the league or quote unquote the powerhouse, and people don't want to give you a quarterback. Like the rest of the league's like, I'm not just going to give you one. So maybe you sometimes have to pay a little bit of a I'm going for the championship tax here. And I definitely think it was needed. You have no idea what's happening with Kyler Murray. You have no idea how healthy Matt Stafford's going to be this year. And I just have this inclination that the Rams are just going to be a dumpster fire. Like they're going to, I can't see it coming together. I don't know why, but I can't see it coming together. It might be just the lack of having draft picks for the last 4 seasons. But
well, and it's also like he got hurt last year, and his elbow strain, that's a scary one for a quarterback. And the team, the team probably isn't going to be very good. The offensive line seems like it's terrible. Mm-hmm. Another trade here, they do get Zach Charbonnet. They had to give up a second and third rounder this year to do it. But it looks like they had extra picks anyway. So Zach Charbonnet comes here at 2.05.
Yeah, which I feel is a bit of a glamour pick ultimately. Like I probably got good value as we kind of saw him slipping. You were kind of pointing out that we would have expected him to be drafted a little bit earlier than that, as we saw that tight end run. So kind of being a little opportunistic, jumping in, but this team didn't need him by any stretch. I mean, this is our best running back room, and honestly, one of the better running back rooms I've seen all season. I don't want to pat you on the head too hard.
Would you be critical of the fact that this team also passed on Zay Flowers at 2.05?
I mean, maybe I could definitely spin it that they could have used a little bit of help at the wide receiver position, but they did have the opportunity to take Jackson Smith the job at 102 and Jordan Addison at 107. So they kind of already hit it twice. Maybe they felt it was like a bit of a hat on a hat to go get the third one. So maybe try to find some semblance of balance as you're building this out. But yeah, I mean, but this running back room, it's Chubb, Henry, Taylor, Pollard, like 4 amazing running backs deep. And then you've even got Alexander Mattison, Rashad White, and Zach Charbonnet. Like, no fat on the bone. Like, no fat there at all. Mm-hmm. It's all very good players and quite strong. So that's a scary place to be. Now, wide receivers got a little bit of weakness. We mentioned the rookies that they picked up. They had Ja'Marr Chase, so moving T. Higgins maybe feels like a bit of a kind of divestment move instead.
Yeah. After seeing the Burrow injury, you're like, uh-oh. it should be noted the first 4 running backs here, 4 of the top 8 in consensus redraft value. But yes, wide receiver, it's not bad. It's number 4 in the league in total wide receiver value here, but it definitely falls off from Chase being wide receiver 2 down to Judy being wide receiver 20, and then Deontay Johnson, wide receiver 33. And you got a bunch of guys in that 30 to 43 range with, you know, JSN is in there, Jordan Addison is in there, and I like Elijah Moore. I think he's a nice little piece to have, and it's a perfect spot for him. He doesn't, this team is not going to, the title probably is not going to be lost because Elijah Moore doesn't come through, but if Elijah Moore hits, he could be a nice little useful piece for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a massive Josh Downs fan, so I think at 307 they found nice value there. I don't think he's a game breaker this year, but as we kind of talked and speculated about Anthony Richardson, if he can become a very good quarterback, there is an opportunity for him there. It's not good, and it doesn't need to be good. I think they know that. I think they know the format, and they know that it's an added piece. Getting Jack Campbell at 507, I mean, he's either the linebacker one or the linebacker two out of the rookies this year, so it's very good. Was needed. They didn't have a lot. Jalen Carter, I don't know about taking a defensive tackle when you can just start the defensive line. Carter is probably going to become a very excellent pass rush defensive tackle as he starts to progress, but that Philly defensive line is quite stacked at the moment, so might take him a bit of a minute there. But you have DeForest Buckner kind of holding down that defensive tackle black hole position where he just sucks up hit tackles. So it's fine. They'll be at a positional disadvantage a few times, but they're just going to be such a, to get past that running back disadvantage or advantage, like someone to surpass what they're going to be doing at running back is going to be tough.
This team was second in scoring last year, and essentially tied for the lead in scoring. I mean, right there, they were 6 points behind in scoring and went 7-7. What an unlucky season
for this team. That's fat. I mean, I just want to like put out one thing. Like, we haven't even talked. Like, we were talking about all these other aspects of it. This team has Travis Kelce.
Oh, like, by the way.
You've got a good team and we're not talking about the tight end one for some reason.
By the way, yeah. Number one in total and sort of redraft value. They do lose dynasty value. Part of that is Kelce, but they stay at number one for the dynasty ranking anyway. 9.07 is the team score. Lots of stickers here. The golden ticket, top-rated running back, big item, top-rated tight end position. Technically, it's the lowest-rated RML staff ranking versus consensus. We still have him ranked first, so who the hell cares? But they do get the pump the brake sticker. The running out of time, this is the oldest projected starting lineup in the league. Again, kind of didn't touch on that specifically, but it goes along with the dynasty drop-off. 29.1 is the average age on offense. Very old team, so maybe the future really is going to be relying on those rookie picks this year, and hopefully Kyler Murray long-term can get back on track there. The Bubbles, Bengals, and Beats, this is also the number one future draft capital team. We didn't mention that. I guess we did a bad job on this team. We were too focused on how good the roster is. We forgot all the peripherals here. This team, number one in future draft capital, I believe they're the only team that has an incoming first rounder. And oh, by the way, it's an incoming first rounder from the team we have ranked dead last in total and sort of redraft value. So a potential 1.01 selection next year. And finally, let's play it. The I'm a show you sticker.
I have wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail. I'm going to show you how great I am.
For having the top-ranked team to get the I'm a Show You sticker. We did it. We counted down 12, 2, 1. Thank you to Golden Empire. Thank you to Rob for setting this all up. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it, at Rate My League. Luke, where can we follow you?
Yeah, you can find me at Twitter, at Dynasty Diehard.
Have a great season. Good luck this year. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again in the future. Adios.